Okay, good morning, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Shabbos Kodesh class learning. So last time we met, I was zocha to be teaching from Yerushalayim. Today, I am back in Woodmere. So let us continue our learning, please. So we remember that we are discussing the Ikvus of the Mashiacha. That is what Rav Shimshon Pinchas is currently talking about, the time period before Mashiach. And last time we learned a very powerful piece from the Gemara, Masechta Sota, that talks about the decline in society in general before Mashiach comes. And a lot of the things that we learned last time are very prevalent and relevant to our day and age. Okay, so in the class before that, we spoke about the movement of Chozim B'Teshuvah, what Pinchas spoke about in the period before Mashiach. Okay, so I'm at the top of page 52. Okay, so in other words, the first thing what Pinchas says is that we think in the time period before Mashiach, everything will be perfect. But now Rav Shimshon Pinchas says it works in the opposite direction too. We like to think at the moment Mashiach comes, everything will be perfect, but this is actually not so. And he quotes a pasuk from Tehillim, and the source gives it as Tehillim Perek Aleph, but that's incorrect. It's actually Tehillim Perek Beis. So I'm going to screen share with you actually to go to the psukim that he quotes. Could you see it says Tehillim Beis over here? Okay, so the footnote says he's quoting from Tehillim Perek Aleph, but that is a mistake. He's actually quoting from Tehillim Perek Beis, the first two psukim, which you see on my screen. And we're going to look at the words of Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch on these psukim there, Pinchas quotes. So he quotes these psukim as proof that in the days preceding the Mashiach, the moment Mashiach comes, everything will not be perfect, even though that's what we like to think. What Pinchas says, this is not so. Not everything will be perfect. How do we know? Because of these two psukim, Tehillim Perek Beis, psukim after Beis. Lama rag shugayim ul'umim yehegu rik. Why do people gather? Why do nations speak for nothing? Rik is emptiness or nothingness. Yisyatzvu malchei aretz, the kings of the earth will stand up. V'roznum nasodu yachar, and leaders will consult together. Al Hashem va'al Mashicho, against God and against his Mashiach. So these are the two psukim of Pinchas quotes to prove to you that in the time period when Mashiach immediately comes, everything will not be wonderful necessarily. And you see that the nations rise up and the rulers join together. And what do they rise up for? Against God and against his anointed one. So Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch says, I put parentheses here at the part we're going to be looking at. This capital and the one preceding it belong together. The one preceding the capital of is Ashrei Ha'ish Asher Lo Halach Ba'atzas Rasha'im Uvaderech Hata'im Lo Amad Uvomoshav Leitzim Lo Yashav Kim Bisaras Hashem Chefso Uvisaras Yaga Yaman V'layla. The first capital describes a person who involves himself with Torah by day and by night. This capital describes things on a more national or global level. So Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch says these two capital go together, capital Aleph and Beis. And in fact, he says, according to the Gemara Maseches Brachos, they actually form one chapter. In this chapter, we're talking about the lives of nations and the common future of mankind. And in Perek Aleph, it was about the life of an individual. So Perek Aleph is about the life of an individual who should be following Torah and following the Ribbono Shel Olam, not sit with the scoffers and the mockers and the sinners. Capital Beis is talking about the same theme on a national level. Okay, here we go. It was declared in chapter 1, there is a future only in loyal obedience to the divine moral law. So when does a person have a future, both in this world and in the next world? When there is obedience, when we are obedient to the divine moral law, that's the only thing that will give us chiyus, because only ethical and moral endeavor can be sure, only one who is involved in ethical and moral endeavor can be sure of God's help. All contrary paths, that means anything that is not on the path of the divine moral law, in which disobedience and levity walk, shall forfeit their goal. So when a person chooses to walk on a path that is contrary to Torah, then you forfeit your goal of life, both life in this world and life in the next world. That which is the true life of the individual, says Rav Hirsch, applies equally to the lives of the people and nation. One and the same law applies both to individuals, and one and the same Torah law applies to the entire nation. I just saw, actually, I don't remember which sefer it was in, I think it was in the Haggadah Shal Pesach of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Satsal, that why today do we need to say something in the Haggadah which refers to returning to Yerushalayim? And Rav Chaim answers, because today, until we have a government that follows the Torah law, we are still in Galus. So even though those living in Eretz Yisrael must recite this passage. That's what Rav Shamshon Follow Hirsch is saying. The same moral, ethical, divine obedience to God will that applies to the individual also applies to nations. And until we are zocha to be living in a commonwealth that follows Torah law, the divine moral obedience, which we are Meshubah, then we are still considered to be in Galus. One and the same law is applicable both to individuals and nations. People and nations will perish if, instead of placing their sovereignty and power at the service of moral law, they use their own might in contradiction to the law. So if we feel we can use our own might in contradiction to Torah law, ultimately individuals will perish, and so will nations. So example, what's an example of using my might in contradiction to the morality of Torah law? Working on Shabbos is a perfect example. I'm using my might. I think the more I work, the more parnassah I will have. So I am going to go out and work my machines, or from my hair adjuster, give haircuts, or I don't know, give a Zoom cheer to people in Australia, around the world, whatever it is that I'm doing that is totally asr on Shabbos, because I think it's going to bring me more income. So that is using my might in contradiction to Torah law. So one who thinks that he will be able, and nations also, who think they will be able to overcome and make their own choices, which are contradictions to Torah law, ultimately those people and those nations will perish if they do not place their service at the feet of Hashem, so to speak. This moral law was made known to the peoples by Hashem and Mishicho. He's quoting the end of Pasuk Beis, okay? Al Hashem v'al Mishicho. So who made us aware of the Torah law? Hashem u'mishicho, God and His Anointed One. At the time when men first separated into nations and started with their plan, which was by the Tower of Babel, when they thought that they could fight against Hashem, the Tower was to represent their might and their fame. Forget the Ribbono Shel Olam, we'll rebel against Him. Everyone should know about us. God led one people of His own creation into the midst of the other nations at the time of the Tower of Babel, when everyone was dispersed and everyone was working together against Hashem. We have the emergence of Avram Avinu. Hashem created our nation in the midst of all other nations. This people, meaning Am Yisrael, in contrast to all others, serves as a guide for all. Am Yisrael serves as a guide for the whole world. And we shall complete its stay on earth, not based on power or glory. We are not based on power and glory. Our stay here is not based on power and glory. What is our stay here? Based on solely upon loyal obedience to God's moral law. The only thing that gives us chiyas, the only thing that serves unto a light unto our own nation and all other nations, is loyal obedience to God's moral law. And we are in contrast to all others. And we serve as a guide for all others, says Rav Hirsch. And our stay on earth is completed, quote, not based upon power, not based upon glory, but solely upon the loyal obedience to God's moral law. I want to read you something incredible that was sent to me. And this is really amazing, okay? This is written by a fourth generation secular Jew. It relates to what we just read by Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch. When we have the Tower of Babel and all these people coming and rebelling against God, Hashem chose one nation. That's when we have the Tower of Babel. It's Perek Yud Aleph of Bereishis. At the end of Perek Yud Aleph of Bereishis is when we meet Avram Avinu for the first time. In the midst of all of the Tumah and Kofras in the world at the time of the people who thought they could rebel against God, emerges one man, Avram Avinu, who proclaims the name of God through the entire world. And Am Yisrael, Avram was the founder of the Ummi Yisraelis, continues that mission. We serve as a guide for all. We complete our stay on earth, not based on power or glory, but solely upon the loyal obedience to God's moral law. Okay, so this is really, really interesting. This is written by a secular professor, Professor Yuval Elbashan. Right? He's the Dean of Law Faculty at Ono Academic College. Okay? He's a community lawyer and social advocate for the poor. On a number of occasions, he met with Hagaon Rav Chaim Kanievsky Zecher Tzadik Levracham, relating it to Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch, said that we complete our stay on earth not through power and not through might, but only by obedience to Torah law. And he wrote a description of his impressions. This is a totally secular Jew, and he writes about himself. He came in with preconceived notions, and they were shattered. I arrived at the home of the Sar HaTorah, Rav Chaim Kanievsky in Bnei Brak, laden with preconceived notions. He writes that. For someone who is the fourth generation of secular Jews, of the type that is zealous not only about personal freedom, but a phenomenon like this, reverence for a rabbi, I view this connected to the world of cults and not the world of Amunah. I was convinced I was going to visit a luxurious home where he and his relatives take advantage of the weakest in order to gain more power for themselves. At the entrance to the street, I was already surprised when the Haredi student who accompanied me pointed to the Sar HaTorah's home. It was an extremely shabby home on a regular B'nai Brak street. Along the outside stairs leading to the apartment, many downtrodden people were gathered, broken people you would find in every society. They stood in a long line. The line was monitored by the people in the rabbi's court, but they looked totally opposite of how I would imagine the concept of people of a rabbi's court. These were simple people. And I said, how much is this going to cost me? Chalila, the rab doesn't take money. But I insisted there must be some sort of collection. I was directed to a tzedakah box. Afterwards, I discovered all the money is actually distributed to the needy. When I entered the Rav's home, I was stunned. This is very honest reflections of a fourth generation secular Jew who went with preconceived notions. And he's going to say, when you think of the Umos HaOlam, not in these exact words, the people who they revere are rich. Never mind that the lives are filled with emptiness. Famous. Running after Gashmias. This is what he says. When I entered the Rav's home, I was stunned. The rabbi lived in the most modest conditions I haven't even seen in the poorest clients I visited in my years as a community lawyer. A tiny apartment, old-fashioned furniture from the 1950s, with only overflowing sfarim hiding the poor condition. The room where the rabbi learned, next his bedroom, which had two simple beds, is the heart of the home. The rab simply learns Torah from Nates till Shkia, and even at 2 a.m., and he receives broken-hearted people who want an answer for despair. He gives them hope. Two things particularly impressed me. The first, a person like him, who learns his entire life and is satisfied with little, is a role model for millions of people. And this moved me so much. When we think of who their role models are, it's people who revere power and might, wealth and honor, glory and fame. And when we think of who our role models are, Mika Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz, Lama Ragshu Goyim Ulu Umim Yehegu Rik, the nations speak for nothing, they gather for nothing, Al Hashem Va'al Mashicho. The contrast to the culture of celebrities that has spread amongst us, a hollow culture that lends importance to monetary power. Their culture filled me with envy. He says the fact that this rabbi, who learns Torah the whole day, who helps a downtrodden, who is satisfied with so little, fills me with envy. And he is the role model for so many. Second, the fact that the rabbi uses his lofty status to embrace people who are downtrodden. I was in his home a number of times, and every time I witnessed that people would leave his room with their faces shining. This was deeply impressive. If only the secular world had someone similar, someone who's accessible to everyone and not only the wealthy. In the many eulogies that will be written about Rabbi Kanievsky, he will be surely remembered for his greatness in Torah, his humility, that way he led the Litvak sector, and in the last decade, the entire Haredi world. Alongside these, because I don't fully understand those, I request to also place the way he instilled hope and chesed day in and day out to those who needed it the most. And this is the impression of someone who is not Torah observant and who came as a skeptic. And it relates exactly to this piece by Rav Sham Shafal Hirsch, which I'm going back to right here. And he says that they create the Tower of Babel, and they represent might and fame. And in the midst of that, God took one man, Avram Avinu, and he introduces us to the founder of the Umi Yisraelis, and we are a guide for all. And our stay on earth is not based on power, and it's not based on glory. It's only based on loyal obedience to God's moral law. I'm skipping a little. Continues Rav Sham Shafal Hirsch, the psalmist, meaning King David, the composer of the Tehillim, sees all of these aspects of the lives of the nations and their activities directed Al Hashem Va'al Mishcho, which is exactly what Rav Sham Pinkas is saying. The whole life of the Umos HaOlam, the whole life of those who are Zaydim, wanton sinners, like we say in B'mei Matisyahu, Their activities are directed, Allah Hashem, va'am b'shicho, they are fighting a battle, so to speak, against God and His Messiah. They live, consciously or unconsciously, with one common goal, to emancipate themselves from the sovereignty of the one supreme principle. They want emancipation. They want spiritual emancipation from the sovereignty of one supreme principle. What's the one supreme principle? Dutiful obedience to God's moral law. So you see why in the days preceding Mashiach, they're going to fight so strongly, because right before Mashiach comes, God's supreme moral law is going to be even more evidenced on earth. So the battle is going to be even stronger by all these nation ones to emancipate themselves from this sovereignty. They do not want dutiful obedience to God's moral law. They are aware of this through the historical fact that these people, Am Yisrael, exist, and they're aware of the fact of His anointed one. And so therefore, perhaps that's what Pinchas says, the closer we get to Mashiach, the more these nations will fight against Hashem, because the closer we get to Mashiach means the closer we're getting to God's sovereignty taking over the whole earth. So when is their fight going to be the most? Their fight is going to be the most davka before the revelation of Mashiach, before the coming of Mashiach, because they want emancipation from the sovereignty of one supreme principle. They want emancipation from dutiful obedience. Only with regard to the law did God promise aid and furtherance. So Hashem says, you know, the only way I will help you, I will give you aid, the only way I will help further you in this world is if you stick to my law. Upon this law, God built world order. Upon the Torah law, Histakabel Raisu Var Alma, Hashem built world order. And the closer we get to the time of Mashiach, the more the nations fight. And only through the observance of this law can nations attain enduring peace. Nations on the world stage seem to have no enduring peace. They are constantly warring. They are constantly fighting. They are constantly trying to take over and kill innocent people. It's a horrific matzav. But Hashem built the world on moral, ethical Torah law. And it is only through observance of this law that the world can attain enduring peace in both domestic and foreign relationships. Rav Hirsch's writings are so profound, so prophetic. He died in 1888. So you could say that even 200 years in Germany, even 200 years after, about almost 200 years after he wrote this, it's so applicable for what we see on the world stage in our day and age. However, the refusal of the nations, to swear allegiance to this moral law, of course the nations, Vladimir Putin refuses to swear allegiance to any moral law, because they have considerations of personal interest, considerations of power, fame, and wealth, all the things that the secular Jew expected to see when he came to the house of this Maran Sarah Torah, Gaon Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zechut Tzadik Lebracha. He thought he would see someone who was considerations of personal interest, someone who is lusting after power, somebody who wants fame, somebody who wants wealth. But that's not our way. He couldn't believe it when they said, how much is it going to cost? The refusal to swear allegiance to this moral law. That means the nations of the world refuse to swear to the moral law because they have personal interests. They have they want power. They want fame. They want wealth. And that is the reason for the unhealthy internal and external relationships in the lives of nations. When we look at the nations and how they interact with each other, there is a totally perverse, poisonous, unhealthy internal and external relationships amongst these countries and within these countries. Instead of seeking a cure for this state of affairs, instead of looking to heal their sorry state of national affairs, all the leaders of the lives and activities of the nations are perversely engaged in a fight. And what is the true fight? The sole principle of salvation. Everything we see is a manifestation of the fact that they are fighting against Hashem and against His Mashiach. I don't know if anybody saw, and I didn't save it, so I can't quote from it. But last week's Mishpacha had a tremendous article about how Putin has a messianic vision of himself and of Russia. I don't know if anybody saw it. It was an excellent analysis of what is fueling Vladimir Putin in this fight to take over the region in or surrounding Russia. But what it is, a messianic vision. It was really incredible. It was mamish a brilliant piece. And it was a messianic vision. And that's what Sham Sharfalher says. Instead of seeing Hashem and His Mashiach, instead of recognizing God's sovereignty over the world, which is manifest through Klal Yisrael, they are perversely engaged in a fight against the sole principle of salvation. So Vladimir Putin thinks that he and Russia are the coming of the Messiah, and so he wants to take over the whole world. The cure actually lies precisely where they think they can find the cause for troubles. The cure lies in what they think is the cause for trouble. They think Am Yisrael, Hashem's Mashiach, the Ribbono Shel himself, Kaviyach, are the cause for trouble. That's where the cure precisely lies. while they seek the cure in which actually only aggravates the lingering of the evil. This is a brilliant piece. The cure for all the travails of nations lies in where they think the trouble is. They see the troubles. The nations see that Am Yisrael is the problem of everything. We're the source of all problems. And God is the source of all problems. And Mashiach is the source of all problems. Their cure actually lies in where they see the trouble. Instead of looking for the truth, they seek the cure, and that which only aggravates the lingering evil. Oh, that's it. That's the end of the piece that I wanted to quote you. So these are the two psukim that Rav Pinchas quotes to prove that in the time closer to Mashiach, no, it won't be getting easier. It will. We like to think the moment Mashiach comes, everything will be perfect. But that is actually not so. Lama ragshu gaimu le'umim yehagurik. Why do peoples gather? Nations speak for nothing. Now, with the insights of Rav Shamshar Val Hirsch, and think of what we see today in the world, is very profound. Yisyatzfu malchei eretz. The kings of earth stand together. Ve'rosnim no so do Yachad, and the leaders consult together. Al Hashem va'al Mashiach. They rise up against God and against his Mashiach, and we can totally understand why now. On days preceding Mashiach, this opposition will be even greater. When Mashiach comes, going back to Shimshon Pinchas, when Mashiach comes, all the nations will join together to fight him. And but Pinchas has that lowercase h, so that means not against God, but it means they're getting up to fight against Mashiach, which is in a sense Kaviyachal trying to fight against Hashem, so as if it were possible, like by the Tower of Babel. For the influence of Galus will enter the days of Mashiach, which is very interesting. So in the beginning time period, it will still continue to be a time of chaos as the nations fight mightily against Hashem's anointed one. In the beginning, there will still be some aspects of Galus. Of course, the efforts of the nation will be in vain, says Rav Pinchas, as the next pasuk says, Yoshev Bashamayim Yishak. He who sits in heaven will laugh. Can you really fight against Hashem? Can you fight against Hashem's Mashiach? But they think they can. They'll put all their efforts into this fight, but he who sits in the heavens will laugh. All this is because the Ikvas of the Mashiach is a link that enters both worlds. We spoke about the Ikvas of the Mashiach last time at length. The Ikvas of the Mashiach is a link. So it's in both worlds simultaneously. It's in the days of world as we know today, and it's in the days of Mashiach. It's a link between two worlds. So that means it has parts of both worlds in it. It has parts of the Mashiach time period, but it also has parts of the Galus time period before the Geula, which is what we are seeing today, which perhaps explains and helps us understand why the nations are striving so mightily. I mean, look at BDS, look at the strong left socialist, very rabid anti-Israel, anti-Semitic element, even yesterday in certain factions and groups in the United States government. Look at the situation with Putin and Russia and the Ukraine. Look at what has happening in Iran and Syria. We see that the world today is fighting so mightily against the holiness and the sovereignty of God that'll be ushered in the time period of Mashiach. And therefore, says Rav Pinchas, we are in the Ikvas of the Mashiach. We're in a time period that is linking both of these worlds. Now, says Rav Pinchas, let us apply this idea to the Beis HaMikdash. Now he talks about the Beis HaMikdash. Our world is earthly and material. So we know that. We are in a material, gashmistic world. Whereas heaven is a world of Kedusha. Okay, so really you should not be able to link these two worlds. They are totally diametrically opposed. Heaven is Kulo Ruchnias. This world is Kulo Gashmias. What does Hashem do to link two worlds? He takes something from the world that is Kulo Ruchnias, which we call a neshama. He puts it into a world that is Kulo Gashmias. This is a total Gashmiistic world. The trees are Gashmias. Water is Davar Gashmi. Everything. Food is Gashmi. Flesh, bones, sinews is all the Gashmi. Cars, everything is Gashmias. How are you going to link two worlds that are totally diametrically opposed? It's really a paradox. They shouldn't be able to coexist. He takes something from the next world, which is called the Neshama Tahora. I was just listening last night. My son was having me listen to, not having me, we were together listening to a bit of the recording from Rav Kielsen's Vod that he gave Monday night to the Abachum in Yeshiva D'Archei Torah. And he said an interpretation that he kept repeating over and over again that actually relates to Shabbos, relates to this idea that Hashem took a nefesh and a shama from the Olam HaEmes. He put it into this world. And now, just like Ikvas of the Mashiach links to time periods that are really totally polar opposites, Ikvas of the Mashiach is a chain or a link that joins pre-Mashiach to post-Mashiach. Really, it shouldn't be able to coexist, but the chain of Ikvas of the Mashiach links these two. The Neshama links two things that should not be able to coexist. The Neshama is the link that links the Ruchnius existence with a Gashmistic existence. So, Rav Kielsen quoted the Gemara. The Gemara says Vayinafash, in regard to Shabbos, right? It's from Parshas Ki Tisa. We've spoken about Vayinafash. We've quoted Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky, who quotes the Sfarno, who says that Hashem gave Shabbos a nefesh. It's in Perek Lamed Aleph, Psukim Tezvav, Tezayin, Yudzayin, of Shemos. Okay? That Hashem created Shabbos, Vayinafash. So Rabbi Kielsen said that the Gemara says, what's Vayinafash? Vay, nefesh. Vayinafash is Vavyod. And then nefesh, right? In regard to Shabbos, you know what I'm going to do? I'll just go get the psukim quickly so you can see what I'm talking about. 1 second, please. Here we go. It's Perek Lamed Aleph of Shemos Pasuk Yod Zayin. Okay? I'm going to put on the chat so you could just see the pasuk. Okay, Beinu Uvein V'Neisro Osi, Shabbos is between me and the children of Israel. It is a sign. La'olam, forever. Kisheshus Yamim Asa Hashem Esa Shemaim V'Esa Aretz. In 6 days, Hashem made the Shemaim and Aretz. Uvayam Hashvi'i. And on the seventh day, Shabbat, Hashem ceased creating Vayinafash. By the way, where's Rav Pinchas going with all this? Why is he talking about the Ikvah Siddur Mashicha in the Sefer on Shabbos Kodesh? Why is he talking about the Beis HaMikdash? Because he's all going to say this is all parallel to Shabbos. Okay, so the Ikvah Siddur Mashicha is a chain between the time period before Mashiach and the time of Mashiach. Therefore, it has aspects of both kinds of existence. Now he's going to say the Beis HaMikdash is a link between heaven and earth. Yich Ha'aretz is adding in that the Neshama is a link between Ruchnius and Gashmius. He's going to go and say, and I don't think we're going to get to it today, but Shabbos is also a link. Shabbos is the link between our earthly existence and our heavenly existence. And every time when we come to Shabbos, we can link these two worlds. But it is the Nefesh, really, that links Ruchnius, Olam Hazar, Olam Haba, Shamayim, with Gashmius, Olam Hazar, base physicality, and that's the Nefesh. So the end of this pasuk is Vayinafash. So Rabbi Kielsen said that the Gemara, I was listening to it, the Vad last night in my son's recorder, the Gemara says, Vay Nefesh. You see, it could be read as two words. Vay Nefesh could be read as Vay, Vavyod, and Nefesh. What is Vay? Vay is woe. Okay, because I use the term Vay. Like we say woe, W-O-E, Oy Vavoy. Where do you think Oy Vavoy comes from? Look at the word. Oy Vavoy, Vay Nefesh. So Vavyod is a term of mourning, a term of sadness, Vay. Woe, oy vavoy. So vayinafash, the Gemara says, is vay avda nefesh. Woe, a soul has been lost. Vay avda nefesh. Woe, a soul has been lost. Is it easier to type that for you? I'm going to my Hebrew keyboard, okay? Vay avda nefesh. On Shabbos, we get a neshama yisera. That's Vayinafash. Shabbos invests us with, injects us with, endows us with a neshama yisera. Vayam hashvi'i, on the seventh day, Shavat Hashem ceased creating, Vayinafash. He endowed us with a nefesh. He endowed Shabbos with a nefesh. He endowed the world with the gift of Shabbos. But what happens after Shabbos? The neshama yisera leaves. The Kielsen said, why do we smell the basamim? We smell the basamim to revive ourselves, to give us a nechama, that this extra neshama has been lost. That's Vayinafash, Vay of the nefesh. So when Shabbos leaves us, the extra neshama leaves us. So we're mourning, we're crying. Oy vavoy of the nefesh. I have lost my neshama yisera, which links me in a higher way to the next world. Like Rav Shimshon Pinchas is going to start talking about in the middle of page 53, which we're not going to get to the middle of page 53 today, but he's going to start speaking about the fact that Shabbos is also a link. It's a link between this world and the next world. It's a link between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a link between Kulo Gashmi and Kulo Ruchni. Shabbos is the bridge. So, Vayinafash, Oy Vay Avda Nefesh. Woe, a soul has been lost. Ever we take the Besama Motzei Shabbos to console ourselves that that special nefesh of Shabbos is lost to us after Shabbos. Rav Kilson was speaking about that repeatedly. He was like saying in a crying voice, Vai Avda Nefesh, refer in regard to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Lebracha, Zchusei Agein Aleinu, Vai Avda Nefesh, that the nefesh of Klal Yisrael, the whole nefesh of Klal Yisrael has been lost. That we are bereft, we are in mourning because Vay of the Nefesh, that neshama that was Ha'ilaga neshama that was in this world, that linked us to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that linked us to Kol Torah Kula, that linked us to Kula Ruchani, has been lost. Vay of the Nefesh. And Baruch Hashem, when Shabbos comes, and it's coming now that we change the clock, it's coming in quite a few hours, but Baruch Hashem is coming, we can all access that extra neshama Yisera. We can all access that Ha'ilaga Kedusha. Generally, we cry after Shabbos, Vay of the Nefesh, the Gadol Dor is taken, we cry, Vay of the Nefesh, the link between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam is Rachmana Litzlan, severed to a more extreme degree, now that the Sarah Torah is not here anymore, but Vay of the Nefesh, but on Shabbos, Vayinafash, the soul is invested within each and every one of us, and we can all access that higher link to Shamayim through observing Shabbos Kodesh. I wanted to quote from the Rebbetzin Kanievsky biography. Okay. Is this the page I wanted to quote? 1 second. I wanted to quote two different things. Yeah, in regard to Shabbos, okay. This is a vignette about Shabbos about Robertson Kanievsky's saintly grandfather. At Tzaddik HaGaon, Rav Aryeh Levine. He was known as the Tzaddik of Jerusalem. If you haven't read his biography, it was recently republished by Feldheim. You should read it. It's unbelievable. The father-in-law of Rav Yashiv was Rav Aryeh Levine, and he was a mamish Adam Gadol from a different world as well. While serving as a prison chaplain, Rav Aryeh Levine became very friendly with one of the inmates, a man by the name of Avram Krinitsy, who had been incarcerated as a member of the underground Haganah movement. Rav Aryeh Levine was known as the father of prisoners. After Krinitsy's release, Rav Aryeh still kept in touch with him, and they remained friends, even after the former prisoner became the mayor of Ramat Gan. When the mayor had a son, he asked Rav Aryeh to be Sandik. The day of the bris was Shabbos, which presented a number of difficulties. Rav Aryeh Levine had agreed to brief Sandik, however, so what should he do? He decided to spend Shabbos in Bnei Brak, which is adjacent to Ramat Gan. And where did he spend Shabbos in Bnei Brak? At the home of his granddaughter, Batsheva, who was Batsheva Eliashiv, and her husband, Rav Chaim Kanievsky. From there, despite his advanced age, he would walk to the bris. This was the only time Rav Aryeh came to the Kanievskys for Shabbos. He revealed to his granddaughter, Rebbetzin Batsheva, the reason he accepted the invitation to be Sandik. Many former prisoners of the British mandate will be in attendance, and these men are not observant. But if I attend, my friend the mayor, the Baal Simcha, will do his utmost to prevent any public chil Shabbos. To Rav Aryeh, it was worth all the trouble, the personal trouble, if by his mere presence he could prevent multiple acts of Chilul Shabbos, and it was the only time in his life that he stayed there by the Kanievskys and left Yerushalayim. Early Shabbos morning after Nates, Rav Aryeh trekked to Ramat Gan. On late Shabbos afternoon, he returned to the Kanievsky apartment with a big smile on his face, his granddaughter and grandson-in-law. Baruch Hashem, I did not see any Chilul Shabbos at the bris, he told his granddaughter, beaming. So we see that Shabbos is the link between us and the next world, between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam, between this world, which is Kula Gashmias, and the next world, which is Kula Ruchnias. So what does Hashem give us to access Shabbos Kodesh, the Kedusha? He gives us an extra soul, like the Pasuk says in Kitisa and the Paraglamet Aleph, Sheish Yis Yamei Masal Hashem Es HaShemayim Ves Arts. This world is Shemayim and Arts. That's all it is. So what should we do? Vayam Hashvi, but on the seventh day, Hashem created Shabbos, Vayinafash, and He invested each and every one of us with Neshama Yisera to access the Kula Ruchnias of Shabbos. But what happens when Shabbos leaves? Your Neshama Yisera leaves. And how do we feel? Vay Nefesh, Vay of the Nefesh. Woe unto us, the extra soul has been lost. How will we connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam all week? So the answer, of course, is Torah. The only way to connect But Rav Kilson was saying that on a national level, that we are all bereft. Every single person is mourning. Vay of the nefesh, the Sar HaTorah has been taken, and he was truly the link between us and the next world. So let us go. That's why he's talking about the Beis Hamikdash. That's why Rav Pinchas is talking about the Ikvus of the Mashiach. I always prepare ahead, not just on the page where we're on. So you're going to see, we're going to come up to, I give you a little preview of what this all has to do with Shabbos, okay? So that's why we're talking about Ikvus of the Mashiach, the link between two different paradoxical times. That's why now he's talking about the Beis Hamikdash, which serves as a link between this world and the next world. And that's why he's going to talk about Shabbos, which is a link between two different realms. Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. How could you have Me'ein Olam Haba while you're on Olam Hazeh? How could you have it? Because it's a link between two worlds. Okay? Oh, this is what I wanted to quote. I was going to quote on the next page, but since I gave you a preview of the next page, I'm quoting it now. Shabbos Shavah Brachas for the Kanievskis took place in the house shared by the Chazon Ish and the Kanievskis. Remember, his father was a stipler. And Rav Chaim's mother, Rabbitson Miriam Kanievsky, was the sister of the Chazon Ish. Shabbos Shavah Brachas took place in the house shared by the Chazon Ish and the Kanievskis. So what did the Shabbos Shavah Brachas look like? The Kala's father, Rav El Yashav, was unable to be in B'nai Brak for Shabbos. Why? He had to give shir in Tiferes Bachurim, so he couldn't come. Rav Moshe, the Kala's brother, was the only guest from the Alyosha family over Shabbos. At that time, he was learning in Panovich, Yeshiva Katana in Bnei Brak. So since he was in Bnei Brak, he was able to be at the Shabbos Shavah Brachas. At the end of his sister's wedding, he was invited by the stipler to eat the Shabbos meals with the family. Fewer than 10 people, that includes men and women, were present for the simple Friday night meal that included the Chazon Ish, the uncle of the Chassan, and the stipler, the father of the Chassan. For the main course, each person was served a chicken drumstick from the soup. Talking about the Shabbos Shavah Brachas of Rav Chaim, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Avracha, and his rabbitzid, Kanievsky, Alal Sham. Each person was served a chicken drumstick for the soup. That was a Friday night meal. At the end of the meal, several local bachurim from the Lomzi Yeshiva came over so they could recite the Shavah Brachas. The next Shabbos morning, Seuda was bright and early, right after the Nate's Minyan. An exact minyan of men, mainly people who davened with the Chazon Ish, were present, and after the meal, Shavah Brachas was recited. For Seuda Shlishis, more than a minyan of people, mostly Bachurim from the Lomzi Yeshiva, joined them for a simple repast. The only other Shavah Brachas meal took place on Tuesday night in the same location. 10 family members participated, including one new guest, Panim Chadashos. The Rabbitson's older brother, Shlomo, was the sole representative of the El Yashavs at the gathering. Rav Chaim and his new Rabbitson spent the following Shabbos in Yerushalayim. So that was Shabbos Shavah Brachas. The following Shabbos they spent in Yerushalayim by the Rabbitson's parents, the El Yashavs. This would turn out to be a rare occasion, as in the 60 years of their marriage, they spent fewer than 10 Shabbosos in Yerushalayim. So that's a glimpse of what Shabbos is in the home of Mamish Gedolei Olam, Rabbi Ari Levine, Rabbi El Yashav, Rabbi Tzim Bat Shava Kanievsky, the Chazon Ish, the Stipler, Rav Chaim. But Shabbos, you have an extra nefesh from Shabbos itself. The food enhances our Shabbos. But the Shabbos is what gives us a nefesh. When that Shabbos is taken from us, vay of the nefesh. Woe, a soul has been lost. So Pinchas says, now let us apply this idea to the Beis HaMikdash. Our world is earthly and material. The world of heaven is Kedusha. Svarim, Ofanim, the Kisei HaKavod. Nefesh is soul. There are, Rav Chaim Volozhiner speaks about it in his Nefesh HaChayim, no pun intended. Really, no pun intended. Rav Chaim Volozhiner, in his Sefer Nefesh HaChayim, speaks about 5 levels of the soul. The Nefesh, Neshama, Chaya, Ruach, and Yechida. Nefesh, Neshama, Chaya, Ruach, Yechida. Every level of the soul gets higher and higher. From the lowest level of the soul to the uppermost level of the soul, connecting us to the Ribono Shel Olam. So really, we talk about our having a neshama, which is a higher level than a nefesh. Animals also have a degree of a soul. Everything alive has some sort of soul, or it wouldn't be alive in this world. So nefesh is one of the levels of the soul. It means part of the soul. This is a very spiritual, obviously, not concrete topic. We can't see these degrees of the soul. We can only feel that we hopefully feel our nefesh and our neshama chaya, ruach, yechida, to take us higher and higher. But it means soul, okay? The spiritual spark that gives us all life. When the soul is taken, so then there's no more life. Then you just have an empty receptacle, an empty kli, an empty body. But the soul is the life force that keeps us here. So on Shabbos, Vayina Fash, Hashem gives us an extra soul. That's the Neshama Yaseir, the extra degree of soul to help us appreciate and connect to Shabbos. After Shabbos leaves, Hashem takes away that extra soul. You're left with your regular soul. Therefore, we say, Vayina Fash, when Shabbos leaves, Vay of the Nefesh, woe unto us, the extra soul has been lost. Rav Kilson was speaking about this regarding Rav Chaim Zatzal, Vay of the Nefesh, Nesar HaTorah. Like Shabbos connects us to Hashem, Rav Chaim connected us to Hashem. Vay of the Nefesh, that extra connection we had through Rav Chaim to the Ribon Shalom is lost, has been lost. Yes, the neshama is a higher level. I'm not an expert on the soul, that's for sure. It's probably very Kabbalistic as well. You have to consult with someone who's much more bhakti than me, but yes, okay? But Hashem gives us the most basic level of existence, and then we have ways to increase our existence by enhancing our lives through the gift of the neshama. And I just thought that that piece by that fourth generation self-described secular Jew was so incredible. You know, the Umas HaOlam revere Eile Baracha ve'Eile Basusim. They revere NASCAR and Hollywood and fame and wealth and fashion. It's such stuyot. It's such Hevel Havalim HaKol Hevel. He said, I expected to come here to the leader of real Jewry and think that that's what I would see. I saw a simple couple living in the most simple apartment with the most basic old furnishings, receiving the most broken people. And this is who they revere, and this is who they laud and glorify, and that's what gives us the soul, and that's what allows us to connect to the next world. So our world is earthly and material. The world of heaven is a world of Kedusha, and it's something, by the way, that we call access on Shabbos Kodesh. We are all given that extra soul on Shabbos. It's such a matana, it's such a gift for each of us on our own level to access that Kedusha. Heaven is a world of Srafim, Ofanim, different kinds of angels, Kisei HaKavod. It is a place of tremendous Avodas Hashem. Yaakov Avinu slept at the future side of the Beis HaMikdash, and he dreamed a dream. What was his dream? There was a ladder. Hine Sula Musav Artsa Verosha Magia HaShemayimah. Let's go to Perech of Chesa Bereshis. Can you see I'm in Bereshis Perech of Ches? Yeah, okay, thank you so much. So he has this amazing dream, and there's a ladder standing on the ground, and the head reaches to the heavens, and there's angels of God ascending and descending, and Hashem is standing on top of him, and he introduces himself, so to speak, to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov wakes up from this unbelievable dream, and he says, Achei neish Hashem b'machama zev anochi lo yodati. Okay, and this is what Rav Pinchas, this dream is what Rav Pinchas quotes. Why did he see a ladder? So Rav Pinchas said, a ladder is... Behold, a ladder standing on the ground. Its head reaches to heaven. The ladder was the Beis HaMikdash. That's what Pinchas says. Part of it was in heaven, and part of it was on earth. V'hine sula mutzav arza, v'rosho magia hashamayma. Well, Pinchas says that it was a ladder because it represents the Beis HaMikdash. A ladder connects two realms, right? You put the ladder on ground floor, and you end up in the attic. So what does that mean? You can access a new realm from the ladder. And then Yaakov wakes up and he says, wow, Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh v'anochi lo yodati. God is in this place and I did not even know. How do you connect Hashem through the sulam? Why? Because it's not a horizontal plane, it's a vertical plane. A sulam connects two different worlds. I do not remember where I was just reading this. Usually I remember. I don't remember where I read this, but my mom has just read a chiddush about a ladder that I never saw this before. I don't know what sefer it was in. Why was it a ladder? I never saw this before anywhere. I thought that this was so interesting. Why was it a ladder? So Rapinka is the same because Alado connects two worlds. Part of it is in heaven, part of it's on earth. Quote, it links two worlds. Because Rapinkas, that's what the Beis HaMikdash does. He's going to say on the next page, and we've been taking a little preview, that's what Shabbos does. Shabbos is a connection between two worlds. It's a place where heaven enters our earthly world and vice versa. So through the Beis HaMikdash, we can enter the heavenly world. Through the ladder, you can enter a new realm. Through Shabbos Kodesh, you can enter the heavenly world. So I see I have 30 seconds. Why a ladder? I saw Gaval de Chiddush that I never saw before. When you climb a ladder, I don't remember where I read this. When you climb a ladder, you need to use your hands to pull yourself up. It's not just your feet. You need to put one hand over another and keep climbing higher and higher. So why did Yaakov see a ladder in his dream? Did I read this in Mishpacha or Sefer? Does anyone, if you read, maybe if it's in Mishpacha, someone will reach out and tell me I read a Mishpacha also. But if not, it was in a Sefer. Why a ladder? Did he see a ladder specifically? Because he was being shown a vision of how a person must ascend to heaven. You can't just ascend to heaven the easy way out. If you want to reach ever higher levels in Avodas Hashem, you have to climb hand over hand, step by step, muscle by muscle, pull yourself up rung by rung. You have to invest tremendous effort to climb a ladder. And what happens when you're climbing a ladder? You get tired. Your arm muscles start to hurt, your legs start to, you're hanging on for dear life. It's not so easy to climb a ladder. I never saw this chiddush before. It's not just dumb that Yaakov Avinu saw a ladder and part was in Shamayim, Moshe Magiyam Shamayim, Vesulam Mutzav Arza, and part is on the ground. It's showing Yaakov Avinu that if you want to climb to higher areas of Avodas Hashem, what do you have to do? You have to make sure you're slapping yourself up. It's hard to climb the ladder. You're going to need to invest tremendous effort to climb the ladder. And that's really what Olam Hazeh is. We have to invest tremendous effort to always be climbing upward to more elevated levels. And we have to access, when Hashem gives us the matana, the ikvus of the Mashicha, of the Beis HaMikdash, of Shabbos Kodesh, of a Gadol Adar who lived in our generation, we have to access that extra spark that comes from that Vayinafash. Hashem gave us all access, and we have to make sure that we are always climbing. Rav Pinka says the ladder links two worlds. But I just learned somewhere that the ladder is specifically teaching us you have to work really hard, hand over hand, step by step. You have to work so hard to climb the ladder. Oh, but if you climb it, you will find yourselves in the highest realms of Avodas Hashem. And I'm going to end with this vignette from the Rabbitson Kanievsky biography to tie your whole shiur together. Okay. A well-known philanthropist from the United States came to Rav Chaim 2 weeks after the Rabbitson's Patira. Flipping open his checkbook, he said, in memory of the Rabbitson, I would like to donate a substantial sum to tzedakah that the Rav should choose. Rav Chaim instead asked the philanthropist about his daily learning schedule. And he told them, after the man told them his Torah learning schedule, Rav Chaim said he should add half an hour of learning and you should start with his Mishnayos Zra'im. I would rather make a very large donation, said the philanthropist. To whom should I make the check payable? I heard you the first time, said Rav Chaim. But if you really want to do something special, if you really want to do something special for the Rabbitson's neshama, you should make it a point to learn an extra half an hour each day. And you shouldn't get off easy by writing the check. So Hashem gives us ways, even as we are in this very gashmiistic Olam Hazeh world, to access the Kedusha of the next world. When He gives us an extra nefesh on Shabbos, and He gives us the ikvus of the Mashicha, and He gave us a Beis HaMikdash, and He gives us the dream of the ladder, and He gives us Gedolei Hador, and they are all links from one world to the next, and only through hard work and perseverance can we truly, truly reach the next world. A ladder requires hand over hand, and foot by foot, and rung by rung, but it is possible to reach the top of the ladder. V'hine Hashem nitzav alav. So after this week, it's been a week since the Patira of Rav Chaim, Vayinafash, Vay of the Nefesh. Truly, a Nefesh has been lost. The Nefesh of Klal Yisrael has been lost. But we have Shabbos, which is coming. And on Shabbos, we all have the Neshama Yisera. And that Shabbos is a link, what Pinkas is going to say on the next page. Shabbos links our ordinary physical world with the world of Kedusha in heaven. Shabbos is our lifeline. It's our connection to Hashem. And through Shabbos comes all the blessings. So I wish everybody with that a helga, uplifted Shabbos of Menucha and Nechama. We should be zocher to the Vayinafash when we'll be moved into the extra Neshama of the Olam HaEmes. From the Ichvus of the Mashiach to the time period of Mashiach itself. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you so much, everybody. Called to a special thank you to our sponsors, who wish to remain unnamed, which is why I don't publicly thank them in the beginning of this year. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Besoros Tovos. Thank you. Kol Tov.